All right. I want you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. For a little while, I want to talk about Abraham. If the sun is too strong, we can have some of the blinds drawn. Is it too strong, some of it? That's a pity to shut out the winter sun, isn't it? You know that Abraham is one of the great men of the Bible. In fact, you will know that in the Lord's day, they used to say, "We have Abraham to our father." That's how great he was. He was the one who fathered the whole of the Hebrew race. We know that he was also the father of the Arabs, as it is today, simply because in one period he went into the flesh, and you see what one excursion into the flesh can do. Just one. The results of it have not died out from the world. And it's a tremendous thing for us to realize it. And I want this morning to deal with Abraham, not in his trespass into the flesh, but as the great man of the Spirit of God, yet how he learned of God. And this is the one great thing. I recall that when Mike was standing here, he spoke about he'd like to have learned lots more things, and so on. But you know, there are some things you can only learn when you start to obey, and as you go on with God. If ever a man can testify to that, it's me. The things that you learn when you start to obey God, and start to move out, however tremblingly, however faultily we do it in the beginning, we may all rest assured that if we just keep on doing the things that are right, that is, by God's righteousness and by God's callings and leadings, the other will become eliminated. Not that we shan't look back with some regret that we didn't obey wholly or properly in the beginning. We shall. But nevertheless, God is very gracious, and he doesn't give up on us. And I think that is a most marvelous thing. Abraham himself being a testimony to that. And as you and I go on with God, we shall learn the increasing glory and blessing that God has for us. Come with me to Genesis 12, only in the simple detail of the story, not in any depth, because it would require us at least an hour and a half, and I've lost an hour on that, so we can only do this short thing this morning. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Now that is the beginning of the life of faith. Abraham comes in on this. Listen, and I want to tell you this. You and I will not reach any place in the life of the Spirit of God and in faith unless we're here. Now this is the first thing God said to him. Get out. That's right. At this juncture, he's not saying go into all the world and preach the gospel. So I'm not talking to Mike and Sue on this particular day. Because it was only for the Hebrew race. God was raising up and was going to build up to the point in time when he could send his son, the seed of Abraham, and through his son say, "Now go into all the world." But at the moment, God was slowly building up. You know, I'm rather, I was going to say pleased with God. Fancy saying that. I don't say it in any patronizing way. But I'm rather pleased that God can heave up mountains in a moment of time. But he can also build up a coral reef through centuries. That's a marvelous thing. And I'm rather pleased that God builds up coral reefs. And usually they're under the surface. And God builds up slowly under the surface. That which he heaves up in a moment of time, as when he spewed up Everest, for instance, and Himalayan range, like that. They're all above the earth, but from what tremendous powers and upheavals under the surface it all came. And what fire burns in the heart of the earth now. God's going to do greater things yet. But here is Abraham. And let's all learn this. You, my beloved brother and sister, whatever you believe or whatever you don't believe, whatever you call yourself, whatever name you bear, you've not, and I have not got anywhere until we hear this. Listen. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Unless we've understood this, we've not got very far. What a tremendous thing it is. Kindred, you ought to get away from your kind. Get away from them. Whatever they say. I know you can muddle along. You can muddle along. But if God's ever going to do anything that's real through you, if he's going to bring Christ through you, this is what he was doing with Abraham. He brought Christ through Abraham. If he's going to bring Christ through you, you've got to get out. You can keep muddling along. You've got to quit your kind and get out of your father's house entirely. You've got to let people know that God's your father. And that's that. You take orders and directions from him.
Amen.
And that he is building up a house of people that is exclusively his. So exclusively his that he will not have your father's and your kind or kindred's names associated with it. Amen. Got that clear? Mm-hmm. Abraham understood this. Yeah. As a matter of fact, he's not isolated in Scripture. It was new at that time. But the psalmist knew it. I won't turn you to the psalm, just for time's sake, in case I'm tempted to keep the lunch waiting longer than I need. Get thee out of thy father's kindred and house. You know, forget your father's house, sang the great psalmist. Leave it. Leave your father's house. Then shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. This is what he said too. And he was another one that's mentioned in Jesus' lineage. He was also the seed of David. What a blessed thing this is. Now look, he's only the seed of these men. Now you keep this clear. He's not the seed of all the myriads of others. He's the seed of this kind of people. This is the life, and this life alone, and all the time a man or a woman bandies, argues, philosophizes, or whatever he does about you, he'll never get anywhere with God. What God is requiring is obedience and instantaneous obedience. Have you got that? When God speaks, he's not expecting you to come up and talk as though you've got an intelligence or an intellect greater than his. He's expecting you to take note of the stars. He took old Abraham out for this, of the stars. Oh, David was the same. He said, when I consider the heavens, he said, the work of thy hands. You know the psalm that sets in, don't you? Psalm 8 or Psalm 19, for instance. The heavens declare the glory of God. And when we pit our little arguments against God, instead of being overawed and said, he's come and spoken to me. He's spoken to me. Spoken to me. Don't you want to get on your knees? Hear then, beloved, is all the secret of it. He said, get thee out of thy country, all the place you've been occupying, get out of it, and from thy kind, whether they're your blood kind or your crony kind or whatever kind they are, and my father's house, unto a land that I'll fully. I'm going to show you something, he says. And he won't show you until. And vainly do we stand and demand that God does this or does that or the other. Say, you've heard these great things about God. Why this, why that, why the other? I mean, I listened a little earlier this morning to the wireless just for about 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I just happened to hear a person talking to someone. And the question this person asked of this, I think it was an American lady, somebody, anthropologist, I think she was. And you've been out seeing all this suffering where you've been. Do you believe, still believe that God is a God of love? You see? Oh, it sounds all right, doesn't it? See, it's very subtle, isn't it? Yeah, I believe God's God of love. Adelaide, I also believe the devil's a devil of hate.
Yes.
I also believe that. And I believe what the book says, that God has not abandoned man unto the devil. He's moved into the world to redeem it through Jesus Christ. They rejected the redemption. That's how the redeeming blood came to be shed. It was shed during his rejection. That's love for you. And he's laid it down, beloved, and he's moving out, and he's not trying to save the world. Now, if you're one of these people that's trying to save the world, you've got to get off that platform altogether. He's told us in the book that the world is going to go into greater darkness. He's told us clearly. It's no good you trying to save it. What you've got to do, beloved, is see that you belong to the people that Jesus is saving out of it. Now that's what you and I have got to do. It isn't a matter of, I don't care what happens to you as long as I'm all right. No, go into all the world and tell all the world as well. That's what he says. That's not the attitude. But it's a recognition of truth. What God is doing. And this is what he's doing. Amen. The rest you and I cannot put right, because the world has no intention of having itself put right. None at all. It thinks that right is on the side of the people that owns the oil wells. Don't you see? Its whole approach is wrong. Glory be to God, we are here redeemed by his blood to attend to the call of God. Listen, I'll show you something if you'll do what I tell you. Now may the Lord move us on. Look, verse 2, I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You and I have to understand that God is a God of curse as well as of blessing. You must never think that God does not pronounce curses. He does. God is not a milk and water being. He's not one of these pale kind of beings that can't either do good or do right, or good or do wrong. He does move in things that have evil effects. That's what the whole Bible is written for, that you and I should understand there is a hell that he creates. We see a hell that is of man's creation. It's nowhere near as terrible as the hell of God's creation. There is evil to shun. There is good to seek. Amen. And you and I have to move into it by his grace. And only as you and I are prepared to quit every other ground and move in, can we know anything about it? I'll bless thee, he said. Do as I tell you and I'll bless thee. That's it. I'll show you something, I'll bless thee. And then listen, isn't this a wonderful thing? If you'll just be obedient, there'll be millions more like thee. What a promise. If we've only got one soul that'll be brave enough to go out with God. Is he here this morning? Is she here this morning? One soul that's prepared to go out on God alone. Instead of keep looking at us, asking others this and asking others that and asking somebody else what they think. It's impertinent to talk to others when God has spoken to you. It's an impertinence to God. You obey God. And if others think that they are able to tell you something, and it must seem, you must get what we call a swelled head about it, but if they think they're able to tell you something when God has spoken to you clearly, they are impertinent too. I know that in the body of Christ there are those with whom you can share. But when you're amongst your own people and amongst your own kindred and in your own father's house, there's nobody there can tell you. Nobody there. When God speaks, you do as he says. Amen. That's what Abraham did. Now, we know that Abraham wasn't as thorough in his obedience at the beginning as he was at the end of his life. At the end of his life, he was frighteningly thorough. Frightened everybody to death if it had been Piranha. But at the beginning of his life, he was rather tentative. Well, who's going to blame him? You remember with what quakings, shakings, misgivings and whatnot you first moved when God began to speak to you. And, well, Abraham departed in verse 4 as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now there's only one thing about that, that in that they were included people that shouldn't have been there. For God told him he was to leave his kindred. You see, God was going to begin a glorious new line of people. That was what he was after. The line from which he'd come was wrong. God, he was going to do something. Now Abraham didn't realize this. He did not realize the enormity of what God was going to do in his life. Hence, he was going to take one man born just like you, and in a completely heathen background, and he was going to start again. Well, now, when God's going to start again, beloved, it's obvious he's not going to start back in those old circumstances, in that old country. He's going to do something entirely new.
Yeah.
So amazingly new that of this man, this one man, there was going to be as stars of the heaven for multitude of people. And the dust, the sand on the seashore, going to be as much as that. Hallelujah. Right out of the sea of his love, the sand upon the seashore, and right out of the heaven of his grace, there was going to be a multitude of people come. Now you see, beloved, do you understand this? That we have altogether too small a view. That's what it is. Now I know there's the other extreme when we say, oh, you know, we have God's got a good mind. I look who I am. But now there's an easy way out of that for God. For you, anyway, as far as you're concerned, and that is that you have been brought to the place where you are going to leave your father's house and your kindred and all the old lot via Calvary. That's extinction. Your line is going to be extinct from then on. And your father's line is going to be extinct. This is what Calvary is all about. So that you come into a glorious new life altogether. And it's from that that the Lord is going to raise up what he wants. I like this thoroughness of God. I'm glad that he casts us all back onto him. I'm ever so thrilled with the fact that there's nothing in any one of us that God can use. It has to be entirely new. We keep wanting to bring in stuff out of the old, our old approaches. We talk about our conditions and our this, that and the other, and that's all rubbish to God, all a lot of it. Why do you think he came into the world by a virgin? Because all the other was rubbish, if I may use the word of it. He brings in entirely from himself. I say it and I'm doing it. Isn't that lovely? And he reduces us to this complete simplicity. Well, he came into the land, Canaan, and it was so wonderful. And the Canaanite was in the land, in verse 6, if you see this. The Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Well, bless the name of the Lord. Listen, how does the Lord appear to you this morning? What does he look like? I mean, in your heart. What's your estimation of him? In personal relationship to yourself. Remember that God was in personal relationship with Abraham here. What does he look like? How does he appear? Well, he must have appeared absolutely grave to Abraham. The Canaan was in the land. Canaanite was in the land. He was in the Canaanite's land, and all the Canaanites were, and he says, now, I've given this to thy land, thee and thy seed. He hadn't got any. He hadn't got any children. None at all. Sarai, if we'd read about it, was barren. No children at all. God said, and he's 75, mark you. He's 75. Didn't somebody say a little earlier that we are brought to a place in the end when we realize that it's only God? 75 years of age, and he said, now I've given this land to thy seed. Impossible. That's right. That's exactly what God wants us to believe. Well, does he bring me away from something and put me into an impossible situation? Yes, that's what he does. Now you're beginning to learn the way of faith. You thought you knew it. You hadn't got a clue. We build up faith from verses of scripture. Abraham built it up from God. And these things have become verses of scripture. You see, we're always coming in on the second thing. Always. We never get through to directness with God. Never. The word, the word, the word. Now you will know that I love it. Don't be honest. But it isn't that, beloved. It's personal. What has God said to thee, Abraham? If I said to you, what's God said to you? Oh, Psalm 96, you would say, you see? Well, God said that to you. Always coming in on something he'd said to somebody else first. Yeah, that's right. This glorious, wonderful, intimate, direct dealing with God. How many of us know it? How many of us know it? And that's what it's all about. Praise his name. When he does it, it's so glorious. But you see, you've got to get out of your kindred. You've got to get away from your father's house. You've got to get away from your country. You've got to get away from everything. And even though if you be like Abraham, that as yet you haven't thoroughly fulfilled it, I'm putting my glasses away, as if you haven't thoroughly fulfilled it yet, even though you haven't learned the way, the highest way of faith, you've learned the basic way. I mean, even Everest doesn't stand on its peak, it stands on its bottom. Yeah, that's right. We try to balance everything on the point, you see, and make everybody desperately miles away if they haven't got this peak faith, you see. So everybody says, oh, well, that's that. I've finished. Do you see? But if you see Everest in company with its others, you'd think that Lhotse and all these were higher than Everest. That's the funny part about it. I've seen them, so I know. Then what's that insignificant thing? So that's Everest. You say, cannot be. Why, these are higher. No, it's only perspective. It's only perspective. God balances everything down on this foundation. A. When did you leave your father's house? Or your mother's? When did you leave your kindred? You talk the family way. That's what you do. When did you leave that country, the place you've been living? When did you even make a start? Do you remember that in the day, hundreds of years later, when they were crossing Jordan, about 500 years later, when they were going to cross Jordan, God came up with the same thing. When you see the ark, leave your place. That's the very thing he said. You can read it. Joshua chapter 4. Leave your place, he said. Joshua 3 and 4. And go after it. That's what he said. Uproot. Strike your tent. Leave everything else. Go on. When did you do it? When did you do it in here? That's what God's listening for. When did you do it in here? We cling. We allow those things to cling to us. In these we find our security. Yes, exactly. You've got to find your security in God. What God says. And what God says alone. And then we're moving on with the Lord. Amen. Oh God, bring us out of all the superficiality of everything else and into this great deepest thing of all. This is the life of faith. And God will bring you right through. Now let's pray, shall we?